What's up?
All right. Good morning, everybody. Shelly's always so excited to see me. It's fantastic. So the rest of you guys, not so much. And so we're continuing our series this week called Faith 2.0. And the reason we called it 2.0 is because we did 1.0 like a year and a half ago. And that's so poetic. I thought it was good. Apparently, I'm very impressed with myself this morning. So anyway, what we talked about in that series was just that, you know, kind of we talked about what faith is and what it looks like and kind of balancing your doubt and your faith, because if you're human, you're going to have some doubt at times. And then so what faith looks like in our lives. And so this series is more about how to grow our faith, especially, you know, kind of being the first part of the year. Everybody's all about them resolutions, right? Which we've already stopped doing because we're a full 11 days in or whatever it is, 9, 10, 11. Little help here. 11 days in. All right. And so we've already just blown our resolutions out of the water for the most part, I'm sure. But, you know, I think that it's always good to talk about kind of you set the precedent, you set the temper and the tone for your year by the things that you start doing at the beginning of the year, right? And I think for Christians, for us that are trying to do the best that we can do and following Jesus, I think doing this, setting kind of goals for ourselves is really important. And the most important thing that you can do, look, we talked about last week, if you're in business or you're whatever, your thing is working and making money, man, go do it. Like, go get paid, right? Yeah. Right? Go do that. Do that. That's awesome. If that's your thing, if you're, you know, getting married this year and that's your big thing, and man, do that. Be the best husband, wife, whatever you are. You know, do your thing. Whatever you do, do it well. But that's secondary. It's always secondary. The most important thing for us in our lives is honoring God with our lives, getting closer to Him this year, having more faith in Him, a deeper seated trust that He's good and He's going to work everything out in your life for His purposes and His plan, right? That's the number one thing. Everything else is cool and it's awesome and do it, but it's secondary. And so I think that's just important to remember. I don't know why I always get on that rant, but I do from time to time. I don't know. There's this thing, and this guy named Jesus, and he said this thing one time in Matthew chapter 6. He was like, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added to you. And he talked about things like, you know, hey, look, I know you need food. I know you got to have money to get food. That's secondary. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. I don't know. So I just ripped off Jesus. Take that, suckers. Anyway, so the second thing we're going to talk about in this series. The first week, last week, we talked about private disciplines and how, you know, your personal devotion and your spending time with God privately is one of the greatest catalysts to faith and growth of faith in your life. Like, spend time in prayer, spend time reading your word, spend time doing things privately, and that helps you to grow in your faith. And for those that love alliteration, do you guys know what alliteration is? Like, where we repeat the same syllable over and over, right? So it's private disciplines. Today we're talking about providential relationships, and providential just means kind of set up and orchestrated by God. It's divine. And I'm in relationships and I have friends, and there's just no way that you could convince me that God isn't the one that kind of set it all up. Like, I love this quote that I heard one time, a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. Like, you can say what you want, but I know that God has worked in ways and put people in my life that you just couldn't convince me otherwise. And so we believe in providential relationships, and we believe that providential relationships are one of the greatest catalysts of faith that you could possibly have or experience. And let me give you an example. How many times in your life, like your personal life, or maybe somebody that you know, has a season of growth in your faith hinged around or started with the conversation maybe that kind of looked like this? Man, I started talking to this person and, or I met this guy who did this and it inspired me, right? Like, people inspire us. People increase our faith. Our face. That's awkward, right? I really don't need my head getting any bigger, but it's whatever. 7 3/8 is too much, right? And so I think that people inspire our faith, and man, we really believe that, and that's why we push small groups so hard, because we think that, man, getting in groups with people that are on the same path and same journey that you are is one of the greatest things that you can do, and we're not doing it just so, like, we look cool and we have small groups and go church, right? Like, we believe it's life-altering, life-changing, and we talk about it all the time for that reason, at any rate. And so we just believe that faith is very much a public affair. It's not a personal thing. And a lot of people, they don't like this. A lot of people want their faith to be personal. But Jesus, I don't know that Jesus really did that. Like, Jesus, he spent the vast majority of his time with people. Like, you know, if you looked at it, Jesus had kind of his inner circle of people, the three people he spent the most time with, and then he spent a great deal of time with the 12 disciples, and he spent a great deal of time with 70 other disciples. And if you kind of read and you really read into the life of Jesus, like, he was always with people. It was the exception for him to go off and be alone so that he could pray. Like, that was the exception. He did that for sure. He spent time alone, private disciplines. Jesus did that. But that was the exception. He spent more time with people, and I think he did it for a reason. Like, Jesus always led by example, and I think that was what was going on in that situation. So private disciplines are absolutely important, but I think personal and providential relationships are just as important. Faith is a corporate affair. That's good. That is good. So today we're just going to look at some basic ways that this plays out in your life and kind of what it means and why it's so important, and most importantly, how it increases our faith. And the first one is this. If you take notes, you're awesome. Note takers or history makers or something clever like that, right? The first one is other people confirm our faith. Now, if you've been in church very long, you've heard this, like, this use. It's that Christianese language that we've got, like confirmation. If you haven't been in church, you're probably like, what are you talking about, brah, right? But if you've been in church, you've heard confirmation, or, man, I just needed some confirmation of that, right? Anybody in church know what I'm talking about? If you're old school, can I get an amen? Can I get a mm-hmm, right? And so, like, we use these funny words, but there's a lot of truth in it, and there's a lot of reason for the reasons that we do what we do. It just doesn't make any sense sometimes. There's a method to the madness, right? For whatever it's worth. And so if you're anything like me, I just need some confirmation sometimes. Like, I get these harebrained ideas. Nobody else does that. And before I pull the trigger on my harebrained idea, I want to get some confirmation from some other people that have brains, right? And so I think what people do is people confirm our faith. And it's not always, you know, hey, I got this cracked out idea. What do you guys think about it? You know, it's not always that. I mean, sometimes it is. But I think anytime that you're considering making changes in your life, like wholesale changes, maybe you're considering a career change. Maybe you're considering, if you're in school, like a degree change. Maybe you're considering getting into or getting out of a relationship. Like, maybe you're considering making some big changes in your life. It's always a good idea to bounce that off of other people who love Jesus and are what we call wise, you know? And this is the funniest thing to me about it. People listen to stupid people. Like, people listen to people that have no business. Don't get marriage advice from somebody that's been divorced 17 times. Don't get personal training advice from somebody that weighs 453 pounds. Like, get advice from people that are winning. Like, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win. So why wouldn't you get advice from people that are winning? I don't know. So, did you need confirmation of that this morning? I know I did. And so maybe you're considering making some huge changes in your life. Get what we call it counsel. Get advice. Get wisdom. Get confirmation from other people. And it doesn't have to be anything, you know, big or grandiose. Maybe it's little things. Maybe it's something like, man, I read a Bible verse the other day, and I'm trying to make sense of it. And, you know, I want to talk to it, talk through it with you, and see what you think about it. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of what I thought that meant. We call that confirmation, right? That is good. Thank you. Over in the back. And what's really powerful about this is that it not only does it increase our faith, but it increases the faith of everybody else that we involve in the process. I think for me, like, I've been on the other end of it where somebody's like, hey, man, I got an idea I want to talk to you about. Like, it increases my faith when I hear what the things that they're doing or the things that they're considering stepping out and trying to accomplish with their lives. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. It inspires me, and it increases my faith when other people involve me in the process, and I think it does the same for them when you involve them in the process. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says this, and you guys, if you've been around here very long, we've used this verse or another variation of it. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Victory, what do we say? Hashtag winning, right? That's what we're trying to do. And if you have an abundance of counselors, you win. You're victorious. And that's the goal. But if you try to go it alone, if you think you're smarter than everybody else, and it doesn't matter what experience anybody else has, you're smarter than they are. Which is so stupid to me. Like, why would we do that? Like, if somebody has just accomplished something that you're trying to accomplish, why wouldn't you at least hear them out, right? Makes sense. And so if you don't do that, if you don't listen to guidance or counsel, then you're probably going to fail. But if you do listen to guidance and counsel and get confirmation from other people, then there is victory. It's a fantastic propellant of our faith because it helps us to realize that we're on the right track. Like, how many times do you need that, right? Like, sometimes I just need to know that I'm not a complete nut job. Glad you guys are with me, right? Because maybe I am a complete nut job. That was confirmation of that, right? And so that's the goal, man. It's just to make sure that we're on the right track, that we're in line, that we're kind of on the path that we're supposed to be on. And that's what confirmation is. When we get it from other people, it helps us to know how many times, man, I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes I just need to know that what I'm doing matters. And I get confirmation for that or with that respect or in that respect when other people give it, when other people are like, man, hey, I love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing because it means so much to me. Like, that's confirmation, and that's one way that this works out. It's like, this is typical, right? There's a thing going on today. It's kind of a big deal, especially if you're from Texas, because the Cowboys have sucked for the last decade and a half, and we're actually looking pretty decent this year. So I'm going to wrap this thing up quick, because kickoff is at 12:05, right? And if you don't have DVR, poor you. Sorry, sucker. But it's like, this is kind of like the culture of a winning team, and not just sports, like in businesses or anything else. I coach my son's football team, and I've heard the same thing is true about teaching. I couldn't know you guys are so special. Like, I could not be a teacher. I would be in jail for murder, right? And so, but I coach my son's football team, and one of the most rewarding things about doing that is when they get it. They see that, okay, so we've been practicing. You guys have been running your brains out because, man, we run. Like, and what's so cool about being a coach as opposed to being a teacher, if a kid gets out of line, freaking hit the tree. Run. Just run. I don't want to listen to it. At school, you're like, get in the corner, Johnny. That crap doesn't work. So anyway, I don't know. But it's like the culture of a winning team. And so you get to see the light bulb go off or come on, I guess, in this, that would be more appropriate, right? And so you've been telling them to do all of these things. And, hey, if you do this, it's going to work and you're going to win. And when you see it happen, like, you know, for us on game day, when it happens, they run the play exactly like you tell them to do it, and everybody's where they're supposed to be, and we score a touchdown for the 17th time because we kicked everybody's butt this year. It was so awesome. But it was like you could see that they understood. It's like, oh, I get it. It's confirmation of everything that I've been telling them. They get it because it's been confirmed by a butt whooping on the field, right? I just had to keep bringing that up over and over. But I've heard that teachers are the same way. It's like, you know, they teach and they teach and they teach and they say the same things over and over. And finally, one day, they get it. And it's like everything that the teacher's been telling them has finally been confirmed because they understand what's going on, right? Does that make sense? And what it does, what's so cool about this, like we talked about last week, you have this belief that drives your behavior, that fuels your belief, that drives your behavior, right? It's this reciprocal, like we talked about how faith is a belief that causes you to do certain things. And because you do certain things, it fuels your belief, and your belief gets stronger that causes you to do other, you see what I'm saying? It's fantastic. So that's the first one, is just that other people confirm our faith. And man, that's so important. It's so necessary in the world that we live in. And even more necessary than that, in my opinion, is a world with inspiration and a world with hope, and that's what the second one is about. Other people inspire our faith. Like, I've gotten to know a few guys. Matter of fact, one of the group that we talked about today is the House of Disciples, and the guy that leads the House of Disciples, you want to talk about a dude that has he has exponentially greater faith than I do. This guy is just absolutely incredible. If you asked me, tell me the one person, if you had to pick one person who is the most like Jesus to you that you've ever met, I would be like, there he is, right? His name is Tim, and he's just the coolest guy, and he's got so much faith. And every time I go to lunch with him or hang out with him or have coffee with him, it inspires me to have more faith in whatever area that it is that I'm in my sphere, in my life. And that's what faith is about. Like, being around other people that have faith inspires our faith, and hopefully our faith inspires other people to have more faith. And man, if nothing else, if I leave this world and I don't do anything else or accomplish anything fantastic or massive or huge, or I'm not remembered for anything, I want to be remembered for somebody who inspired other people. I want to be a person who's remembered for offering some hope or an encouragement. Because man, like, we just know that there's so much discouragement in the world. Like, look on your freaking Facebook feed. Hello. I'm going to let that sit in for a minute, because apparently you guys don't have the same kind of Facebook feed that I have. Everybody's life sucks, right? And they're like, oh, you're so stupid. And you see people going back and forth on Facebook, which is so mature. But people need inspiration. People need encouragement, because there's so much discouragement. There's so many negative things, and the negative things get so far blown out of proportion. And so we need other people to inspire us, and we need to inspire other people. And faith does that. Like I said, like being around other people that have greater faith than you do is probably one of the greatest things that you can do, because it helps you to want to go back to whatever it is that you're doing, and it makes you want to attack it with just this fervor and this audaciousness, which is just a cool word, right? Because this is what, if you're human and you're honest this morning, which is, I hope you're human and honest in church, come on, right? I think that we probably all have times in our life where we wonder if what we're doing really even matters, right? Like, and you're like, man, does anybody even care? Does anybody even notice, like, how hard I'm trying, or how good I'm trying to be, or how much faith I'm trying to have? Does anybody even notice, or do they even care? And we need to know that it matters to other people, right? We need to know that other people are seeing what it is that we're going through. And when you take the time and you stop and you recognize what other people are doing, you encourage them, man, you don't have any idea what that means to them. I got a message on Facebook this week, which is, you know, those are always hit or miss, either really good or really bad. But I got a message on Facebook this week from a guy that I went to school with, and we're friends on Facebook, but we haven't talked in 8 years. Friends, right? And so it was just really cool. He sent me a message on Facebook, and he was like, hey, man, I hadn't talked to you in a long time. My life is really horrible right now. I just want you to know that, you know, what you guys are doing is awesome and inspires me. It means so much. I'm moving back to the area. I'm going to try to come check it out. And I was just like, that's cool, right? Because here's the deal. Like, I'm a pastor, and there are still days where I'm like, man, I wonder if the work that we're doing even matters. If we were gone tomorrow, would anybody even notice? And then you get a message like that kind of at 2 o'clock in the morning, one, you know, random day during the week, and you're just like, yeah, it matters. Like, this is a big deal. And that inspires me, and apparently we're inspiring other people. So that's what faith is about. We just believe that it's about inspiring other people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 is one of my favorite verses, because I think there's so much going on here that we kind of can lose sight of if we're not careful. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary, right? Like, that's just such a cool verse. It's like, don't lose heart while you're doing good, because if you don't, and you don't quit fighting, and you don't give up, then when the time comes, when the time is right, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't grow weary. And that's just, it's such a cool, you know, fantastic verse. It's so inspirational. But I think the emphasis is always on, hey, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Like, be encouraged. But there's not as much emphasis on the second part of that. And it's like, in doing good. Isn't that interesting? Like, don't lose heart in doing good. Don't lose heart in doing good. Don't lose heart in doing good. And I think that's huge for us, because here's the deal. Like, don't just be encouraged. Like, don't just feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself and the work that you're doing. It kind of comes back to what we talked about last week. It's about belief and behavior. Don't lose heart in doing good. I've said that enough. You guys, you're probably going to wake up in the middle of the night. Don't lose heart in doing good, which is really creepy. I'll be there watching. Just kidding. And so one way this works out is people, the way that people inspire us, and one of the ways that I kind of, again, thinking about it from, you know, an inspirational aspect, sometimes you have people in your life that are like cheerleaders, right? They're just like, you're awesome. Like, my wife is the most fantastic cheerleader in the world, right? But she was never really a cheerleader, which, that's cool with me. Right? Yay, Permagrand, let's go. But she's just so encouraging, and she just, you know, always takes time to build people up and, you know, tell them the good things that are going on. Because here's the deal. Any moron with a 50 IQ could point out things that are wrong with people's lives. But it takes somebody who's actually thoughtful and got a brain to point out the good things that are going on in people's lives. Right? Which one do you want to be? Huh? Good question, right? I think we all know what we want to be, but it's so easy. Man, it is so much easier, and it's so much more fun to be negative. It's so much easier to tell your mama jokes. Like, your mama's so fat, she puts on her belt with a boomerang, right? Like, man, I was the king. I could just quick and quip and wear you down, and it would be so easy to do that. But it's so much more beneficial, and it's so much harder to be encouraging and to be positive. Like, you know, how many of you guys love your mama jokes? Until we start talking about your mama, and then what, right? If you start losing a your mama battle, boy, it's on, because you just get mad. I'm talking about my mama like that, right? And so the way this works, again, let me come back to what I'm actually trying to say here. You have people in your life that are cheerleaders that they're not going to get involved necessarily, but they're going to just continue to verbally encourage you and, man, we're so proud of you and keep doing what you do. And then you also have people in your life that are more like teammates, right? Again, I guess using a sports analogy because I have a very narrow focus and field of life. We watch three channels. We have 150,000 channels. We watch three. ESPN 1, ESPN 2, and ESPN 3. I'm just kidding. Watch History Channel because I want to be well-rounded, right? And so thinking about it from a team perspective, like you have cheerleaders that just encourage you, but then you have people that are teammates, people that come alongside you and help you. And man, nothing is more encouraging to me when people are like, hey, what can we do to help you guys at the church? What can we do to serve you guys at the church? And it's not serving me, which is, you know, that sounds so weird and self-serving, like you're working for Jesus and working for the church, just so everybody understands where we're coming from. But that means so much because it's like, it validates what you're doing. It's like it matters as much to you as it does to me because you actually put forth effort and you put energy and effort into things that actually matter, right? Because you're expecting some kind of investment. So I just hope that when we leave a conversation or we leave, you know, an interaction with somebody, that they feel a little bit more inspired to go back to whatever it is that they're doing and the lives that they're living and attack it with a little more fervor and passion and audacity, right? Like, I mean, I hope that we inspire other people in the same way that other people should be inspiring us. And let me just kind of lean in for a minute. If you don't have people in your life that are inspiring you, you need a change of scenery, right? If you've got people that just constantly bring you down and like you are the only one in your life that's trying to build other people up, you need to change of pace, a change of scenery, a change of friends. Like something needs to give. Get into a small group. I think you should absolutely have friends that aren't saved, that don't go to church, that need Jesus, because you may be the only Jesus they ever see. But if that's all you're around, you're not gonna make it, cuz like you're not that awesome, you know? You need people that encourage you. It's just, I always think about it. How many of you guys like power tools? Yeah. How many women like power tools? Respect. Yeah. But even like power tools, like especially, you know, since now we've got the lithium ion technology and you got 18 volts of manliness, right? Or womanliness, and get her done. If you don't, I mean, you can just go to town with your power tools, but you got to plug them in sometimes and let them recharge. And that's what it's just kind of with relationships. You can give and you can give and you can give, but you need to take some too, and you need to recharge. You need to have people that are encouraging you just like you're encouraging other people. So that's the second one, is that other people inspire our faith, and hopefully we inspire their faith as well. The next one, and the last one, for sake of kickoff, right, is that, I'm just kidding. Seriously, I hope you recorded. If you didn't record it, shame on you. The third one is this. I had a guy one time. I was so mad. I was furious. This was before DVR was actually a thing. You know, kind of dating myself a little bit. So we had a youth pastor, and we were the associate youth pastors, which is another way of just giving people responsibility with no kind of authority. You'll think about that and figure it out. And so this guy, genius, right, plans an event on Super Bowl Sunday, the night of Super Bowl Sunday, during the freaking game, during the game. I was furious. We left the church. I was like, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Like, I quit. I quit Jesus. I quit Christianity. I'm kidding. So we missed the first half because this Yahoo wanted to be all spiritual and whatever. And I really think he did it just to be stupid like that. And that's what made me so mad. I was like, oh, my God. God loves football. God hates you. Done. Absolutely kidding. The third one is that other people strengthen our faith. And I think that, man, we get this. I think we understand that our strength is kind of in our numbers, right? You can only accomplish so much on your own, and you're going to have times in your life where you're weak, or you're going to have times in your life where you fall. There's this really cool passage in Ecclesiastes. It's like, hey, man, if you're on your own, you might fall, but if you've got somebody with you, they can pick you up. And that's what it's about. Like, other people can strengthen our faith when our faith is weak, and we can strengthen the faith of other people when their faith is weak. Our strength has always been in our numbers, not in our individual awesomeness, right? No matter how incredible you are or may think you are, like our strength really has always been in the collective effort, what we're trying to accomplish together in community as a church. I know you guys always carry stuff around in your pockets like that, right? See what I have in my other pants. So there's this, again, back in Ecclesiastes, it was like a cord like this could be broken. Now, if you can break this, you're a man. Like if you were actually trying to do some work, somebody break that. See if you can break that. Without a knife, leave your knife alone. Busted. There's no way. There's just no way. Unbelievable. So, you know, the strength in that is good. There's a lot of strength in that. But it says that a three-string cord cannot easily be broken. So if you put all three of those together, it's not going to happen, dude. Yeah. This guy is a materials joining engineer, which I don't even know what that means. It sounds really intelligent. And so I've heard that when you kind of, not only do you double the ability, I mean, you're doubling the strength, obviously, but it actually does more than double when you put two. You would think, hey, I'm going to put two pieces of rope together, it should be twice as strong. But I've heard in some cases it actually is exponentially stronger, like more than double, which is weird. So I think there's a lesson in that for us. Like, man, you can do so much on your own, and for sure you've got your life to live, and you do your thing. But when we're in community and we've got other people in our life, there's so much more strength in it, and we've got so many more abilities. Like, we talk about our gifts all of the time. Like, you've got things that you can do so well that I'm not very good at, but I've got things that I can do that you're not good at, and together you complete me, right? You know? And that's what it's all about. It's about community. It's about doing life together. It's about being in life and doing community with other people so that they can strengthen us, and then hopefully we strengthen them. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. You guys have probably heard this. This is the one they put on the back of t-shirts and stuff. And if you don't have a tattoo, this is a good one to start with, right? Everybody's always looking for tattoo material. I'm like, Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And you could have like a piece of iron coming out of your chest or something. Just thinking this thing through for you, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's like, you know, we get the idea, especially how many of you guys have ever seen like a, you know, the old like blacksmith, and he's like, like pounding on stuff, right? Like, you know, in the movies, because that's our only context. And so they use other materials, other metals to sharpen other metals. And the idea for us, the way it translates is, hey, you're a human, I'm a human, you're a guy or I'm a guy, you're a girl, whatever. Like those kind of people, the people that are the same kind of people as us, that are doing the same things that we're doing, they're living the same kind of life that we're trying to live, they sharpen us, they make us better, they challenge us, they kind of hold us accountable, which is huge. Because you know what I've learned about myself is that I can talk myself into anything. Like I could justify anything. I could make sense in my mind of anything. But then I know that I got to answer to my wife. There's a lot of accountability in that, right? And I got to try to explain to her what it is that I just made sense of in my mind, and then it's not going to happen, not going to fly that way, right? And there's accountability and strength from the accountability, because you can do the same thing. Man, you can dupe yourself. You can trick yourself. We talked before about how there's a psychological term that happens in your brain. It's called impact bias, where your mind literally tricks you into thinking that something is better than what it is, and you need accountability. So that you don't do the stupid thing that it is that you're thinking about doing, or you don't go down the stupid path that you're thinking about going down because you think it's a good idea. It's not, right? That's what accountability is about. That's what strength in numbers is all about. And that's just the iron sharpening iron is kind of a perfect summation of other people's strength in our faith and vice versa. But I think there's a catch to this. I think something that we do sometimes is we expect relationships to just kind of happen. And they don't. Like, you've got to be intentional in your relationships. One of the ways that I kind of think about this is that we're three parts, right? We're mind, body, and spirit, or soul. I heard a guy do a teaching the other day. It was really so much far beyond what I could probably comprehend. But he was talking about how we're actually dichotomy. We're actually body and spirit, and the soul is the totality of the two of those. And I was just like, that sounds like a lot. But for me, I got a brain, I got a body, and I think I got a spirit. Right? Just keeping it simple. Let's just go really easy here. And I think if we think about ourselves in those terms, like, hey, you've got a mind, you've got a body, you've got things that you physically enjoy, but you've also got a spirit, and having balance in your life is huge. So absolutely, when you're in your conversations and you're doing life with people, talk about things you think about. Sure. Like, hey, I watched this video the other day, because how many times do we do? I watched this YouTube video the other day, and it's usually something completely stupid, but sometimes they're cool. Sometimes. If you're the guy that always, hey, watch this, you know what you need to do. Stop. So talk about the things that you're thinking about, for sure. And then, and kind of as with respect to, we have, you know, a physical body, like, talk about things that you enjoy. Talk about sports. Talk about your hobbies. Talk about shopping. Talk about whatever it is that you want to talk, But at the end of the day, you got to bring the goods. Like, you got to talk about things that actually matter, and things that, that when it's all said and done, they're not temporal. They have lasting value. Talk about your spiritual well-being. Talk to people about what's going on in their life. Let them find out what's going on in your life, because how many times do we stay guarded? Because we don't want other people to know what it is that we're dealing with or what we're struggling with. And all you're going to do, like, all you're going to, you're just setting yourself up to fail when you do that. Because, man, you've just got to have people in your life that care about you and are going to help you get through the stuff that you're going to go through, because you're going to go through stuff. Like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. So go through it together as opposed to trying to make it on your own. So that always helps me, just remembering that, man, we're kind of three parts. We're mind, we're body, and we're spirit. Like, talk about, you know, things that you think about. Talk about, kind of, if you want to talk about your emotions, whatever, that's fine. Weird, but fun. Just kidding. You know, I figured you girls would be like, yeah, and hold hands and kumbaya, right? And all the dudes are like, nah, man, ain't got time. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? But talk about things that, we're going to talk about sports for the rest of the day. Like, that's cool. Talk about that stuff. But make sure that you talk about things that actually matter. Pray for each other. Wow. Hey, man, what's going on in your life? I'm going to pray for you. That's so uncomfortable, and it's so awkward, but it's so powerful. Man, if we could get past this whole, like, you know, this arrogance or pride that we have that we're not willing to do that, man, we would be so much better for it, and they would be so much better for it. There would be kind of that reciprocal nature going, like, they have their faith encouraged because we're willing to step out and pray for somebody, and our faith is encouraged because we were willing to step out and pray for somebody. And I'm not saying you have to, like, hold hands in the middle of Walmart and pray for people. I mean, you can, but I think you're weird if you do that. Like, I mean, I love Jesus, and I think you're a nut job, right? But, I mean, find out what's going on in their life. Hey, man, I'll pray for you tonight when I get home or when I'm in my, you know, prayer closet. Right? Just don't let your conversations be wasted on things that don't amount to anything when it's all said and done. Like, be intentional in your conversations. Be intentional in relationships. And remember that it's about strengthening each other's faith. And so we're going to wrap up this morning just kind of with a reminder, kind of a recap. Man, we want everything in your life to thrive. Be successful in whatever it is that you do. But first and foremost, your relationship with God should be increasing. Your faith should be increasing. And so we've got to be serious about this. We've got to be serious about our relationships. We've got to believe that other people confirm our faith. Like, they hold us accountable. They give us guidance and wisdom and instruction. Other people inspire our faith, and we should do the same for other people. And then lastly, of course, is other people strengthen our faith. It's, man, it's just huge to remember that you're not that good. Like, nobody likes to hear that, because we have this, you know, you can do anything mentality that when you're being raised, and it's like, no, you can't, right? Like, let's talk, if you're, you know, 5'7" and you can only throw a football 30 yards, I'm not going to tell you that you can be in the NFL. You can do anything you want to do if you set your mind to it. No, you can't. You just can't. You have limitations. Like, we have limitations as humans, as people, and it's important to remember that, and it's important to have other people around us that'll help us get through some of the limitations that we have. There's strength in our numbers, and other people strengthen our faith. And so that's what it's all about, man. Make sure that you are intentional about being in relationships. We believe in these providential relationships. Be in a small group if you're not in a small group. We're going to kind of talk about that in a little bit, just to make sure that everybody knows all of the possibilities or opportunities that we have. But let me pray for us, and then Kristen's going to come tell us some stuff that we need to know. Father, we love you. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us. God, we are so thankful for your love for us, God, that it's not even like we first love you and we love God and we're so awesome because we love you. God, it's not even like that. It's just that you loved us, and because of that, we now know what love is, and we're able to give it back to you and to give it to other people. God, I pray that you just always help us to remember, God, that you are in control, that you are in charge, even of our relationships, God, that you're the one that sets up and orchestrates the people that cross our paths. God, that you are providentially working in our lives. God, to put people in our lives, God, that will help us, to inspire us, and that we can do the same for them. God, I pray you always help us to remember, God, that this life is not just about us, and it's not just a personal or private thing, God, but it's about what we are doing collectively and corporately. God, help us to be aware and mindful of others. God, we love you, and we ask all this stuff in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.